May it please the court, Laura Levitt for Mr. Garcia-Rodriguez. In 2003, Mr. Garcia-Rodriguez pled guilty to legal reentry and was sentenced to a 37-month prison term to be followed by a 3-year supervised release term. He was thereafter deported. About 5 years later, on October 24, 2008, the United States Probation Office filed a petition for revocation alleging, as a violation of a supervised release, his illegal reentry into the United States. The district court ultimately revoked supervised release. The question before this court is whether the district court had jurisdiction to revoke the supervised release. And the answer depends upon when Mr. Garcia-Rodriguez actually began his supervised release term, so that we can then determine when that supervised release term expired, and upon whether the revocation petition was filed and a warrant timely issued prior to that expiration date. That answer is not readily discernible from this record because there are 3 possible supervised release start dates, and all of these supervised release start dates are subject to reasonable dispute. There is nothing in this record for this court to consult to make an accurate determination of the correct supervised release start date in order to make an assessment of the supervised release expiration date. This court is not in a position to find facts among conflicting facts. That's the unique province of the district court.
You're off to a good start. I don't mean to interrupt you, but I mean, could we just do a limited remand on this for that to be determined by the district court without a complete remand? That way, it could come back up fairly quickly.
Yes, you could do a limited remand. I would think yes, I would prefer that you enter an order that just vacates the judgment of revocation and remand to the district court for consideration of the jurisdictional issue. But on this record, yes, you could make a limited remand.
Well, of course, I guess we would have to maybe in advance of that. I mean, you would want a ruling, wouldn't you, on this question of the phrase released from imprisonment and when that occurs. Don't we have to decide that?
I don't think that you need to decide that. Well, yes. Release from imprisonment defines the supervised release start date. So and there are 3 possible dates, one of which divests the district court of jurisdiction. So if it's October 17th, 2005, which appears on an email that was written to defense counsel from the Federal Detention Center official citing a BOP Bureau of Prisons database, if that indeed is the release from imprisonment date and therefore the supervised release term start date, that means 3 years later supervised release term would end at the end of the day on October 16th. The petition wasn't filed until October 28th.
So there'd be no jurisdiction.
There would be no jurisdiction.
And now, I think the government's contending, of course, even if there was a physical release on that date, that was not a release because it was a transfer to ICE.
Right. And the problem is transfer from the BOP custody into immigration custody does not have anything to do with official detention by the BOP. Once the BOP releases a prisoner after serving his term of imprisonment, the BOP either releases that person into the free world, or if he's subject to a detainer, an immigration detainer in particular, as in our case, transfer goes to the immigration authorities for civil immigration proceedings.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. It is really a sea change in status, isn't it?
Yes, it is a sea change in status.
I mean, the person may not be free to go, but it seems to me that it's different in many important respects.
That's exactly right, and this court has recognized this as early as 1995 in United States versus Brown, addressing various statutes, one of which is, and I just want to get this to be absolutely correct about this, but the Attorney General can't remove an alien who is sentenced to imprisonment until that alien is released from imprisonment. And that's 8 U.S.C. section 1231A4A. And that coincides with the 18 U.S.C. section 3624E, that says a term of supervised release commences upon a defendant's release from imprisonment. This court recognizes that supervised release is not extinguished because of deportation. It remains intact. And in Brown, it also recognized that the United States Probation Office the United States Probation Officer says that the alien prisoner is under supervision once he gets transferred into immigration custody pending deportation. And in a subsequent case, which is in line with the statutory language under 1326, 18 U.S.C. 3583D, that deportation doesn't toll a term of supervised release, the court can't...
Well, deportation is different than being held in custody.
It is different than being held in custody. However, likening immigration custody to official detention in the context of being subject to a conviction and sentenced and imprisoned in BOP would mean that jail credit pretrial would be awarded if you were in immigration custody for purposes of civil deportation proceedings only. This is the same thing, but at the reverse end, post service of sentence, detention in immigration by immigration authorities for purely civil deportation matters, if that were official detention under the BOP, then the BOP would be obligated to give that prisoner or defendant good credit time, and that doesn't seem like the Attorney General would want that to be. I'm sure there'd be many prisoners that'd be happy with that, but it's not official BOP detention. And I think that the statutes, starting with 18 U.S.C. 3624E, in conjunction with the immigration statutes authorizing only the Attorney General to make the deportation order, or authorizing the Attorney General to start deportation proceedings once the defendant has been released from imprisonment, or at least you can't be deported until released from imprisonment, guides this court's decision. So yes, if it's not clear from the case law already, I think the court issuing opinion that says release from imprisonment into immigration custody is no longer official detention in connection with a conviction and sentence.
Counsel, let me ask, can you tell whether that date of the 17th was 3 years after the three-year period began back there in the beginning?
Well, interestingly, he was arrested on January 16th, 2003. If indeed, at least according to my calculations and looking at Barber versus Thomas and how the Supreme Court handled the assessment of good time credit, if he was awarded all of his good time credit, he technically should have been released from imprisonment on September 24th, 2005, which would have meant his supervised release term began on that date, even if he was transferred into immigration custody. But that's even a different date than the dates that we have in the record already, and that date would definitely divest the court of jurisdiction. I'm not sure, did I answer your question, Judge DeMoss?
Okay, yes.
I think that jurisprudence, the scholarship, the language of the statutes, the way United States Probation Office handles releasees once they've been released from imprisonment into immigration custody teach that immigration custody is not the same thing as BOP detention, and that once the prisoner is released from imprisonment under the custody of the BOP into immigration custody, the supervised release term begins, and the supervised releasee is subject to supervision, and it only becomes inactive once the person is deported from the United States. And so at the bottom, at the end of the day, we're still stuck on this record with three possible supervised release start dates, none of which are
provable
or supported by documentation of which this court can take judicial notice. And because it's a fact-based question involving conflicting facts, or even credibility determinations about certain documents which are neither certified as true and correct or self-authenticating, this court needs to send that question back to the district court for the district court to decide in the first instance.
All right. Thank you, Ms. Levitt. You've saved time for rebuttal.
Okay. Thank you.
Mr. Turner?
May it please the court, counsel. I have to acknowledge right up front that the government's brief in this case wasn't especially helpful in resolving the questions asked. With respect to your initial question, Judge Smith, with respect to whether release to immigration triggers the term of supervised release, the answer to that is yes. It doesn't stay that supervised release term from starting. And now I have to turn to the questions that the court set before us. The first question with respect to the enhancement turns upon the second and third questions. And the second question first is whether the record plainly establishes either the commencement date for the supervised release term imposed in connection with the 2000 illegal reentry conviction. The probation officer did set out a precise start date. That is October 28, 2005. That turns upon whether or not he was released October 27, 2005, employing the rule that that date's not the start date, it'll be the next day. The record reflects this, that on April the 28th, 2009, defense counsel filed a motion to dismiss the petition. Now, what's not in the record and what's in the district court's record is the probation officer's response to that motion. And the reason that's not in this record is because on June 11th, when the case came before the district court, the motion wasn't renewed. There was no renewal, no challenge to jurisdiction. It was, we're ready to be sentenced, we're ready to plead on these petitions. So the question then arises, what can this court infer or presume from this? Going with counsel, the defense counsel is presumed to engage in reasonable professional assistance. And in this instance, I would suggest that Mr. Herman is an excellent attorney. He didn't press the motion because he knew from the probation officer that the computed release date per Bureau of Prison Records and transfer was October 27th, 2009, and not October 17th. October 17th is nothing more than a bare allegation within his pleading that wasn't renewed. So with respect to the first question,
Who are these entities that you're referring to by their initials?
The Bureau of Prisons, I'm sorry, Your Honor, the Bureau of Prisons are the one that compute the good conduct release time and would transfer him to the immigration authorities. So they would compute the time. The release time is October 27th, and that's in the district court's record. Unfortunately, that's not before this court because counsel did not press the issue before the district court at the time of the revocation hearing. The immigration authorities would be the person to remove him, and the records are going to reflect that he was transferred from BOP to deportation consistent with the condition of supervised release.
So same question I asked Ms. Levitt, which is, wouldn't it be pretty expeditious and easy to just to have a limited remand to Judge Hittner? I mean, he could have a hearing or he could look at all the documents and just give us a ruling in a short time.
I agree with that suggestion, Your Honor. He can expand the record to include whatever Bureau of Prison records reflect, because Bureau of Prisons ultimately is responsible for computing the good conduct time and the release date. That's under the Supreme Court precedent and also under the Moreland case from this court. They would compute the time, and the time that they computed was October 27th. Therefore, the term of supervised release would begin October 28th, 2005, and the petition was timely filed.
To what
also, same question I asked Ms. Levitt, which is, before having a limited remand, wouldn't both sides want us to make some kind of a ruling on whether the whether the imprisonment continues when there's a transfer from BOP to ICE?
I would suggest, Your Honor, that the imprisonment continues, but it is actually released, too. So I think the release, by definition, here's the release date. I think when Bureau of Prisons releases him to customs officials for removal, and that's consistent with the special condition of supervised release, which provides that he'll be taken over, if deported. More elaborate is that he's taken over to the immigration officials for the administrative process to begin for removal, then that triggers the supervised release term, and it starts then. So the ruling should be that when BOP transfers this individual to Immigration and Customs, they're released from prison, from the prison term, and supervised release term begins.
Well, but then, so in 3624, there's the phrase released from imprisonment. So would the transfer to ICE for purposes of that statute be a release from imprisonment?
I think consistent with Johnson and Jackson, this court's case, it is consistent with imprisonment, release from imprisonment. I mean, he's in custody, but he's in custody for administrative purposes as opposed to custody pursuant to the sentence of conviction. So I would think administratively, you move him into Bureau of Prisons, that triggers, excuse me, if Bureau of Prisons moves him into immigration custody for the administrative removal process, then he's released from the sentence served.
All right. I cut Judge DeMoss off, but I think he had a question. So.
Well, as I understand it, there is some, from a law clerk or something or other, supposedly quoting a record that gives the different dates. Now, is that just a absolute fiction of somebody's mind, or are there records on which those dates actually appear?
Yes, Your Honor, it's in the U.S. Probation Office's records. That's where they come up, and it didn't make it to this court's records by virtue of the fact that the defense attorney either withdrew his motion or simply did not present it to the district judge and not give Judge Hittner a chance to rule upon it.
Okay. Well, we can't cure jurisdiction by plain error, can we?
No, Your Honor, I can see.
Okay.
That.
So this issue is a jurisdictional issue.
Yes, Your Honor.
And is it the government's position that whatever that law clerk sent to defense counsel about the October 17th date, she just made up?
No, Your Honor. That is simply in the pleading. There's no confirmation or no corroboration of where that came from at all, save for the fact that there was some suggestion it came from a BOP paralegal. And that paralegal could have made a mistake, and that's for the judge to resolve. There are records that are generated by the Bureau of Prisons when they're released. But that motion, that date, where that date's alleged, was never presented to the district court. It was withdrawn. I think the fair inference that the reason it was withdrawn and now presented is because the dates are these. April 28th, the motion's filed. April 30th, the probation officer responds. Now, in these revocation proceedings, the government, save for the sentencing aspect of it, is more or less peripheral. It's the judge, the probation officer, and the defendant. And so the probation officer responded to the defense attorney's motion that this was an October 17th start, with the Bureau of Prisons documentation showing it was October 27th. A limited remand for the purposes of confirming that for Judge Hittner and his probation officer would be appropriate in this particular instance as opposed to a full hearing on a jurisdictional computation.
So you are suggesting that we tell Judge Hittner how to rule, in other words?
I'm suggesting that the judge has before him, he can draw on his evidence, but he can bring in his probation officer, and he and his probation officer can establish that date, that release date, with the Bureau of Prisons, which wasn't done in this particular instance. There was an affirmative allegation of the commencement date, but when the challenge was raised to that start date, it was withdrawn by defense counsel, which I think is what set us a bit of confusion here. The question is why did he withdraw that? And the record is silent as to why it wasn't renewed and presented at the time of revocation. Are there any other questions, I believe?
Nothing more. Let me just make a suggestion here. I mean, if we should decide on a limited remand, obviously we'll have to discuss that, but both counsels seem to be amenable to that. It would be helpful if the two of you were able to agree on, if there were a limited remand, what question or questions would be presented to Judge Hittner, since obviously you have some knowledge of matters that aren't in the record, and you might do a better job of fashioning the question than we would. I'm not telling you that the two of you have to agree on it. If you don't, you don't. But if you're able to agree on what should be submitted to Judge Hittner, if you would send that to us as an agreed letter of some kind, it might be helpful to us.
I think we can do that.
And Ms. Leavitt, you've saved time for rebuttal.
First, I want to clarify that the attorney below did file a motion to dismiss. He never renewed it, but he didn't affirmatively withdraw it on the record. And so there is nothing on the record of the district court proceedings in which that was affirmatively withdrawn. So that date that Mr. Herman alleged in his cited as the supervised release start date in his motion to dismiss is hanging out there. And in conjunction with the supervised release start in the revocation petition. And so when we got up onto appeal, I thought the best method, knowing what I know, as Mr. Turner implied, that we kind of had an inkling of when the supervised release term began. And so as a duty of candor to the court, I filed the Anders brief with the declaration. But unfortunately, as this court reminded me in its order, jurisdiction can't be abandoned. It can't be waived, intentionally relinquished, or can't be forfeited. And this court must look at it, its jurisdiction as well as the district court's jurisdiction all of the time, and it can be raised at any stage of the proceedings, and it is always reviewed de novo. And the unfortunate thing here is that now on appeal we have more evidence of conflicting dates because Mr. Garcia Rodriguez responded to my Anders brief and submitted the email from the Federal Detention Center official citing that as the release date and submitted another document called Sentencing Computation Data Sheet in which the 10/27/05 start date was included. And then now you've got the revocation petition saying it's 10/28/05. And then the problem with the sentencing computation data sheet is at the top of that page, it indicates that it comes from the probation office, but underneath Mr. Garcia Rodriguez's name, when it refers to all prior computations or all current computations, there's an indication that no, perhaps that document doesn't contain everything that's current. So we're left with all this ambiguity about the start date. So I wanted to say there is sort of evidence in the record in the form of the email, the sentence monitoring computation data sheet, and the revocation petition. But as the government argued, it was never argued in the district court, so the district court didn't resolve that issue, and it's in the best position to do so. Let me just make sure. I agree with with Mr. Turner that this court's decision in Jackson and the Supreme Court's decision in Johnson indicate that release from imprisonment under 18 U.S.C. 3624E, I believe that's, pretty sure that's
3624E, yes.
Yes, is release from BOP custody. And so once BOP releases the prisoner from its custody, either into the free world or into immigration custody, for civil deportation proceedings, the supervised release term then begins.
I think the language from that statute is release from imprisonment. I think that's the
release
language.
From imprisonment.
Yeah, from
and right. Yes, and the Supreme Court and this court has recognized that it's release from BOP custody is release from imprisonment.
Counsel, let me ask a question: are we talking about where custody of this defendant was? Was the Federal Detention Center on Texas Avenue there in Houston?
Yes.
Or was he in some other prison somewhere else that we're going to have to go get a record on?
I'm a little confused. At the time...
When he was transferred from Bureau of Prison Custody to Bureau of Immigration,
Where
did that transfer take place?
You know, I would be speaking outside the record, but I have a feeling he was in Eden Bureau of Prisons facility, which is a dual facility where a lot of our alien clients are housed, and that they by declaration transfer from BOP custody to immigration custody pending deportation. They might be housed where they were housed for Bureau of Prison purposes, but because it also serves as an immigration custody detention center, I believe that's the case. But he was in a Bureau of Prisons facility and then transferred into immigration custody, whether it was within the confines of a Bureau of Prison facility or an immigration detention center. But it was not at the Federal Detention Center, as far as I know.
Thank you, Ben.
Thank you, Ms. Levitt. Okay. Your case is under submission.
Thank you.